Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Terry and Robin's Power Hour, a show where we create our own reality. Thanks for joining us. So pull up a chair and enjoy the adventure. And now, here's Terry and Robin.
Good evening, everybody. Good afternoon. Good morning. Good wherever in the world you are. This is Reverend Terry Power, and you are listening to the Power Hours with Terry and Robin. Robin, are you there, darling?
Yes, I am.
How you doing, darling? How are you?
Okay. Hey, you know what I just noticed for the first time? Probably because I haven't really been paying attention, because normally when I'm coming into the show, I'm in a rush.
Okay, what did you just notice?
Well, at the front of the show, in the introduction for us, it says, Reverend Terry Power, HP, and Robin McKean. How come I don't get an HPS and a holistic health certified holistic health coach after my name in the introduction? I'm just saying.
Because you weren't there when I rushed to get the new ones done. So.
I know. I'm teasing you. But we'll fix that.
Absolutely. You go right ahead and fix that. I have no problem. So.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. My lady, my love, my partner.
I just wanted
I'm
to
just
you.
Glad you're here tonight.
I know. I love you.
I love you too, darling. So, how are things over on the mountain while I'm over here at work?
Well, news from the mountain is not so great today because we had something get into the duck cage, the duck coop, I guess you'd call it, and kill four of the ducks. So I called our neighbor and ask them to come down and maybe set some traps around the pen to see if they come back tonight and hopefully catch them so we can put an end to all this losing of ducks and chickens.
Okay. So last night was not a good night for us, but it was a good night for whatever ate well.
Yes, yes. But it's got to stop because we're losing chickens and ducks at an alarming rate.
Right. But it's a nuisance now, and so
more than a nuisance.
It's not safe. So for us to be safe and continue to eat eggs and such, it is time to deal with said critter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of sad. I understand it wants to eat too, but it's going to have to hopefully
find
somewhere else
to eat. There's plenty of animals in the forest for
eating. That's right. Go eat somewhere else. Yeah, our duck enclosure is not your dining room.
That's right. Yeah, the duck enclosure this morning looked like something out of a Sam Peckinpah movie.
Mm. Lovely.
Yeah.
CSI crime scene or something, huh?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, the circle of life, and you're going to keep dealing with that. So, so anyway, gosh, it has been such a wild ride for the last few weeks. You know, Tuesday nights has been kind of crazy lately.
Yeah.
One Tuesday we're driving back from Caldera Fest. The next Tuesday we're down in Florida dealing with your mother.
Yep.
And I'm glad she's sounding better today.
Yeah, I spoke to her today. She sounds a lot better than she did the other day.
Very, very cool. So that's all wonderful news. But it has been somewhat crazy. Been somewhat busy. Had a great time on Saturday over at the Pittsburgh Pagans in the Park. Mostly a beautiful day with occasional bursts of rain, showers. I mean, really, not even a heavy rain. The final ritual when they were calling the sun and the clouds open, that was actually pretty cool.
It was?
You what?
I said it certainly was.
Yeah. So, anyway, so thanks to Silver and everyone over there for making us feel welcome and feeding us and basically taking good care of us. It was very...
Yeah, it was.
It was nice. It was a beautiful sight. And it was generally a good time. So I just want to say thanks to everyone. Thanks to the people that attended our workshop. And keep remembering to have fun, guys. So,
yeah.
So, what else? Let's see. We've got the star card tonight. I guess we should probably start talking about our show,
uh-huh.
Our topic that we advertised. And I think it's interesting with all of the stuff that's in the news that the card we're talking about tonight, the star card, is about hope. About hope for the future. It's about coming away from the tower. And, those of us that have been following our series on the Fool's Journey through the Tarot know that the last time we spoke, the Fool had just encountered the tower. And the turmoil that goes with the tower, the changes in one's life that typically accompany the tower are at best dramatic and potentially traumatic. And then here we are tonight talking about the star. The star card is hope. That bright star that shines on our path and helps us to move forward after the tower. And I don't know, to me it just has struck me somewhat apropos to have that card tonight. So what are your thoughts on the star card and the Fool's Journey, and basically where we are in this series?
Well, the star card is sort of has always been a signpost inside the cards. You know, it comes, like you said, it comes after the Tower card. So you've been through this great upheaval, and there's been a lot of change, sometimes for the better and sometimes for the not so better or not so good. But what the star card is here to remind us is to not forget that you have hopes and dreams. and to perhaps evaluate those hopes and dreams and look forward and create new ones depending on your new situation, to be flexible and fluid, and to just be able to change your goals, hopes, and dreams and reach out for them, no matter what they may be. They may not be as lofty as they once were. They may be completely different than they were before your tower event, but here they are anyway, which it's just a reaffirmation of life and that no matter what we go through, we have to keep going, and there's going to be always a future, and we have to think about our future, and we have to make, you know, embrace new dreams and that keep us going. The hopes and dreams keep us moving forward.
Absolutely. You know, some of the key words that come to my mind, as you know, as we have both said already, hope, renewal. Yeah, renewal is a big aspect of this. Inspiration, courage, fulfillment, even serenity.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard used in reference to this card, and you know, there is just a sense of peace in this imagery. The woman in the image is, and again, we are looking at the Rider-Waite deck.
Mm-hmm.
Unapologetically, this is a great teaching deck. A lot of the symbolism of other decks comes from and has its roots, its ancestry, if you will, in the imagery of the Rider-Waite. So
mm-hmm.
we do not apologize for the fact that we use the Rider-Waite as our teaching deck.
Mm-hmm.
So with that said, looking at this card, we have a woman naked, completely stripped of all pretense, naked before the gods. And when I look at her, I don't see a naked woman. I see skyclad in that sense that she is open before the gods. Without costume, without disguise, without pretense, she is bare before the gods in total honesty. And so that in and of itself is a peaceful thought, that concept of total honesty that resides within this image. You know, she's pouring one pitcher of water into the pool and another onto the land. You know, nourishing the earth and all the greenery, you know, around her, all the plants. You know, I'm looking and I notice that one of her feet, you know, one of her feet is on the earth and one is, you know, is in the pool in the water.
Yeah.
And the practical qualities, the earthiness of the left foot on the earth and the right being submerged in water. And all of the intuition and inner aspects of our resources, our voices, our inner that voice inside of us, and our intuition, all being wrapped up in both of these, in this symbol in her two feet.
Uh-huh.
So. Now, this is why we teach the Rider-Waite deck, because there's no mistakes. There's no randomness. Everything in this image is there for a reason.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is rather an universal symbolism, as we have discussed before. Many other ceremonial traditions and other older traditions use some of the same symbology in their teachings. So if you learn the Rider-Waite deck, you're also learning some knowledge about some of the Masons, and they use it, the Freemasons, and, you know, the Rosicrucians and the, the OTO. So it's the Golden Dawn. A lot of these other traditions utilize a lot of the symbolism. So, and it's a good jumping off point, because most other decks, probably about 85% of other decks, are based still on this deck. So, there you go.
Absolutely. The numerology even comes into play with a lot of the cards, and in this one in particular.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the multiple layers of eight, plays a very important, a very powerful layer in this.
Mm-hmm.
The card number 17 reduces to eight. There are eight stars. Each of those eight stars have 8 points.
Mm-hmm.
And numerologically, in certain systems, eight is the number of strength. And along with hope, we're being given or shown that we have the strength to move from the tower and to move forward. And that one big star in the middle that lights our way, that guides us
mm-hmm.
Toward the future. Out of the all the changes that came with the tower, leading us onto a new path. You know me, I love that kind of multiple layers. Multiple layers of symbolism. And one number used that many times in one card is seriously cool in my book. To have that kind of focus on the number eight shows some serious thought. So there
mm-hmm.
is no accident.
Yeah, I agree.
So I even find it interesting that there are five. First, he's pouring the water onto the ground. There's five rivulets. Five little rivers being born, we've got, the five senses, the five elements. There's any number of places that five, Pentacle itself,
mm-hmm.
shows up in our understanding. There's a lot going on with this card, but it all is about that courage, that strength, that hope that wells within us. That whatever's happened, we're going to go forward. What's that song, I Will Survive?
Uh-huh.
We will survive. There's nothing that's not going to, that we can't get past.
Right.
So I see all of that kind of wrapped up into this card. And, of course, we welcome other people that want to jump into this conversation. We're coming up on 20 minutes after, so I'm going to let my lady speak. I have been prattling on. But I do want to remind everybody that we will be taking calls at 646-564-9714. If you want to jump into the conversation, feel free to call us live between 9:30-ish and a quarter of 10. We'll be taking some calls at 646-564-9714. And tell us your thoughts or ask us questions that you may have about the Star Card tonight or the Fool's Journey and the series that we've been on. So, leading up to the song tonight, my lady, would you care to jump in there with some more thoughts on the imagery and what we've been looking at with the star?
Well, sure. The idea that the lady in the card is naked, for me, talks about, you know, sort of that rebirth. We all come into the world naked, and, you know, naked is a symbol, being naked is a symbol of coming out of it with needing less but having more, being stronger, being able to stand without help or clothing or any other accoutrements. To stand on your own two feet and say, I am here, and I can keep going forward. And, you know, a lot of people see the she's naked as a vulnerability, but I see it as a strength. This is not because she's naked and stripped and you know, humiliated in any way, which sometimes people read into this card, but I've never seen it that way. I've always seen it as she survived the tower event, and she may have less than she had before, but she's way stronger than she's ever been. She doesn't need the pretense of clothing. She's confident enough and strong enough to just be who she is. And it's sort of a reawakening and a rebirth. And, you know, when you're born into the world, you're born naked. You don't need clothes. And that's always the way I've taken it. People debate that particular thing about this card quite often. Most people see it as sort of a vulnerability and a weakness and an expression of sometimes even fear in the Star Card, but I've never felt it to be such.
The people that you've encountered that have that interpretation, are they coming at it from a pagan background or from a Judeo-Christian background?
A pagan background.
It's Sky Cloud, which is open and honest. I don't see where anybody would get vulnerability out of this.
Well, you know, I don't know. Yeah. I don't necessarily agree with it, but, you know, that's what I've heard from other people. One of the other things is, you know, you mentioned about 1 foot being on the earth and 1 foot being in the water. And, I think that goes to balance. You know, keeping 1 foot solidly planted, but not so solidly planted that in case things need to change again, that it's going to knock you off your feet. It's, to me, an indication that if you can stand with 1 foot on the earth and 1 foot in water, keeping fluid and ready for changes and shifts in your underfooting, that you'll always be walking in balance and be ready for it when things need to change, and you won't be so set in your ways, so you know, to speak, so grounded that you won't be able to be adaptable and be fluid. I said that before, you know, be fluid in your approach to your future. And so that's always been, I think, an important thing, step here. As for the 8 stars in the sky, I think that you're more numerologically oriented than I am. I've always just thought, you know, 8 stars just pertaining to the stars you see at night in the sky, just pertaining to the fact that 8 is the number of infinity. But, you know, not really much else in the way of a numerological definition, other than the fact that stars are something that you wish upon. And, you know, maybe you get 8 wishes. So,
oh,
you know,
that'd be nice.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? So, you know, or 8 good things that will happen to you. So, I mean, you could look at it in lots of different ways.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but, you know, all of the points, all of the stars being 8-pointed, and there being 8 of them, and the card 17,
mm-hmm.
which reduces to 8, come on, I mean, it's inescapable.
Mm-hmm. How does 17 reduce to 8?
Numerologically, 1 plus 7 is 8.
Oh, I'm trying to divide it, and I'm thinking to myself, 8? How does he get 8? Okay. Now I know what you mean.
Numerologically, it reduces to 8.
The sum of 1 plus 7 is 8. I gotcha. Gotcha.
Yes, that's how you reduce the number numerologically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like I said,
Well, absolutely. I have found numerology fascinating for 15, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
When I created my wizard staff, you know, I brought the number 7 into it in so many different directions and so many different ways that took planning, that took forethought. So I recognize the simple elegance of 8 within 8 within 8 on this card,
mm-hmm.
because there's forethought that went into that. So I respect the creator of this card and the symbolism, and it's, in my opinion, that's not accidental. That was an intentional
mm-hmm.
placement of 8 within this card.
Right.
So, so maybe, you know, you're right. I do see that sort of numerological patterns because that's one of my fascinations.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, right now we are at 27 minutes after the hour, which I think is a wonderful time for us to go ahead and take a break. And in keeping with our theme of change and hope, Dar
mm-hmm.
the Bard has an amazing song called Winds of Change. And so I thought we would play something kind of change-related after coming away from the changes of the tower and looking at the new life that comes with it, renewal. And here's Winds of Change by Dar the Bard, and we'll be back right after this.
Where the cell team white horses gallop upon the shore. Then canter once more. Leave your skin upon the beach. Free your mind and dance with me. I turn back to look at the places I know, but my selkie woman calls to me, and I go.
International Pagan Radio, a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week streaming radio station. We have informative Facebook page, interactive Facebook group, absorbing interviews with musicians, engaging shows with excellent hosts, and dynamic interviews with spiritual leaders. Come join us. We have the very best pagan music from around the world. We feature artists such as Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, Elaine Silver, Izon, Brian Hinkey, Robin Renee, Fawn, and so many more. All available for your listening pleasure 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are also available on TuneIn Radio. So go to www.internationalpaganradio.com. It's all pagan, all the time.
One power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it, and we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
listening to Terry and Robin on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
And welcome back, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Power, and you are listening to Terry's and Robin's Power Hour here on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. And as always, I'm joined by my lady, my love, my partner, my best friend, the woman I want to grow old with. Robin, how are you doing, darling?
I'm good, sweetheart.
All right. So, before the break, we were talking about the Star card.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've been taking the Fool's Journey through the Major Arcana. And, you know, we're actually hurtling toward the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've just got, I think, about 5 more cards to go, and we will be finished. And we will be, you know, at the culmination. Now, every week we talk, or every, I don't know, not week, but every few weeks when we do these cards, we talk about putting the card somewhere on your altar. Spend the next few weeks between now and when we discuss the next card. Put the star somewhere where you can see it regularly. Or print out an image of it. Put it on your, on the mirror where you prepare yourself in the morning before you go on about your day. Put it somewhere where you can look at it in the evening. Whenever is a good time to contemplate, and even if you've got some time, try to meditate on the card itself. One of the things that I've learned myself about learning the tarot, about working with the tarot, is that if we understand the card for ourselves and for our understanding of it and for how the card speaks to us, then we don't need somebody else's interpretation of that card. You may study this card and come away from it with something completely different than what Robin and I are teaching you tonight. And that's fine. If that's what the card says to you, then that's the language that you are agreeing with Spirit for your use of the cards, for your divination. So we give you our take on it. And you will notice that even Robin and I have different takes on these cards. We've kind of just from different backgrounds. And we disagree about a great many things. We love each other. We find truth in the middle. Because usually that's where truth is found, somewhere between the extremes. And we both preach about balance. So that's the cool part about everything that we teach, everything we do, everything we live, is that we follow our path. You go follow your path and let the person next to you follow their path and the person across the street follow their path. That's what true freedom is about. We live in a country of freedom, and we are free to follow our path. Follow it. Don't let anyone tell you that you're wrong or they're right or anything else. Robin and I have a practice that is right for us. That's about as far as it extends. am I right, Robin?
Yeah.
So study the card itself. Take what we gave you, but go study the card. Don't just memorize someone else's interpretation of the card. Study it, learn it, figure out what it means to you. You know, Robin and I have very different ideas about what the stars on the card mean. That's cool. That's different scenes and that's layered. Robin and I tend to agree a great deal about, you know, on the basic level about the nakedness of the woman and how it's a strength and openness and honesty. Where some may see it as a vulnerability, as Robin mentioned. So take these cards and study them, work with them, meditate on them. When it comes up in a reading, you'll be better prepared to interpret what the message Spirit is giving you, what message you are getting from Spirit when this card turns over. For myself, when I turn over the card, now again, I use a little more structured layout than Robin does, and she's going to give you some ideas here in a minute. When I see this card, I think the first word I used, and it's really the first thought that comes into my mind, is hope. Wherever this card shows up, in my opinion, it is about the future. And I do have in my readings, there's a past, a present, a future. But this is about the future no matter where it shows up in the reading. In to my understanding of this card, it is not necessarily about the moment, but it is about how we move forward into the future. Serenity, peace, balance, as has been mentioned. And again, the number 8 so powerfully represented indicates to me strength, that inner strength, that that gift of overcoming. The concept that which does not kill us makes us stronger. And we've come from the tower, and here we are strengthened by that experience. And encouraged. You know, by God, I made it. I survived this. I did this. Look. Yes. I'm going on. I survived. And I have a better understanding of where I'm going. That's everything I feel when this card turns. So where it's placed, of course, is going to have a lot to do with it. What cards are around it, what flavor of the meaning. But at its core, at its essence, to me, the energy of this card is about survival, strength, hope, renewal, going forward better, stronger than you were before. So, I think I've prattled enough, my lady. What do you see when this card gets turned over in the reading?
Well, as always for me, it's about some of the cards that are around it and what they might also have, you know, to add to the show, because for me it's not about one card, it's about all the cards. Usually when this card comes up, I look at it as a hopeful sign, a good sign, a thing that, you know, is going to bring good things into people's lives. There's the hopes, the dreams, the attainment of those hopes and dreams. It's almost a card of promise. With hard work. I mean, it's not something that's going to drop in your lap. It's not a you know, unexpected boon, if you will. But something good is coming. But you're going to have to, you know, focus on it and work for it, stay balanced, stay focused, and keep moving forward toward it and not get stuck. And, you know, reaching for the stars, as it were, you've got to keep going and keep stretching for it. That is exactly what this card usually means to me when it comes up in a reading. And I'm not a big one for talking about, you know, oh, when a card is inverted. You know what? I'm just so basic about things. I don't want to make things more complicated than they have to be. I don't use any of those. I don't use a spread, you know, the Celtic cross or any of those. I learned them years ago, and I just found that it cluttered up my thought process during the reading. And so all I really do is I just lay cards out. You know, I usually will lay out anywhere from, you know, 6 to 10 cards in a semicircle, and starting on the left, with the left being the more distant past. And as I go across the semicircle, it's, you know, closer in time, and then the future. And I just kind of feel the cards, and I feel the intuition of what I'm being told, of the message I'm being given. I'm truly a believer in the more stuff you're thinking about while you're doing the reading, the less focused you can be on hearing the message that you need to hear. And so I try to keep my readings very simple. I'll be honest, when I do readings for other people, I do not use a deck based on the Rider-Waite. I use a totally intuitive deck. The cards have no set meanings. The deck that I use is called the Soul Cards, if anybody's familiar with it out there. It's a beautiful deck, and one that I would highly recommend to somebody who's not a novice at reading cards. You just really have to spend time with each of the cards, and there are a lot more of them in that deck than the Rider-Waite, and there is no book that comes with that deck at all. And I don't make any money from this deck. It's just been a deck I've used for the last, I don't know, 15 years or so. There are a couple of different versions of it. I think there's a Soul Cards 1 and a Soul Cards 2. I've always used the original 1 version. I just like it. The key here, whenever you're doing readings and you're going to be doing them for the public, is to find a deck that you're really, really, really comfortable with and that fits you. And that, for me, is that Soul Cards deck. I do also use the Rider-Waite. Yes, exactly. It's like a Rorschach interpretation. What do you see in this picture? The artwork in the deck is beautiful, though. The artwork in the Soul Cards deck is beautiful, though. It was made by a woman who went to Cooper Hewitt Art College in the East Village in Manhattan. So she's no slacker when it comes to graphic arts. But anyway, I'm kind of getting off the topic here. We do use the Rider-Waite, though, because so many other decks are based on it, as we said before.
Great teaching deck.
Yep. And it's a good thing to know the facets of the diamond, if you will. You know, each card in the deck represents a different facet of a reading, a different moment in life. And even if you're using a deck that's not based on the Rider-Waite, you have to understand the different facets and moments in a person's life that can be important, and the cues that can come from them are still helpful, even when you're reading with a deck that's not Rider-Waite based.
Yeah, and look at the order that the creator of the deck put the cards, because mm-hmm. there is a journey.
Yes.
There is a journey. There is a reason that they were put in the order they were put.
Mm-hmm.
So understanding the order in which the cards appear will help you to understand the inherent truths of the creator of that deck.
Yep.
And what they understood and their cosmology, as it were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anyway, I think that pretty well covers it. We've had an interesting conversation tonight. We've agreed about some stuff. We've disagreed about some stuff. You know, it's a pretty typical show for us.
Yeah.
We both do come out of this, though, with the concept that this is about the future.
Mm-hmm.
I think we generally both agree that this is about going forward, you know, in hope and strength and renewal, rebirth. You're talking about
mm-hmm.
rebirth. I'm talking about renewal. I think the concepts are very similar.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
With all of that said, my lady, how does someone get in touch with us?
Well, open the window. No, just kidding. Stick your head out and I'm sick and tired. I'm not going to take it anymore. All right. I'm aging myself.
Second star on the right and straight on toward the mountain. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm aging myself. That was a reference to the movie Network, but never mind. I'm like 12 people
yeah,
who saw it in the whole world. But
I'm mad as hell, and I can't take it anymore. Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And if you want to get in touch with either Terry or I, the best way to do that is to email us at littlestonebridge@gmail.com. You can also get in touch with us on our Facebook pages, and my Facebook page is Robin A. McKean, and Terry's Facebook page is Rev Terry Power HP, and you can get a hold of him there as well. You also could get a hold of us at the Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings Facebook page. But if you're interested in finding out information about Terry and or I, you know, either one of us or together coming to present classes, do workshops at an event, or have the radio station come and do a live broadcast, the best place to reach us then would be at the littlestonebridge@gmail.com email. You can also reach us in anything pertaining to the station. If you want to send us a letter and say how terrible it is that I want to set traps to you know, catch whatever it was that killed all my ducks, feel free. And you can send that email to the station email, which is Terry?
SURN.org@gmail.com.
Yep, that's the one I can never remember.
That's the one. Yep, and some mental block or something. So, let's see. We've got Mark Rooney from Morgantown PPD is going to be our guest on Thursday. As
mm-hmm.
we head into the summer festival season, we're going to be trying to speak with festival organizers and such
mm-hmm.
for our Thursday night shows, and of course some recurring visits from some of our artists that have been on the show before, some that we've met, some up-and-comers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was really fun talking with Beltana last week.
Mm-hmm.
So looking forward to having an opportunity to showcase a few other people that have not been as widely known as, you know, some of the headliners from Caldera.
Next week,
1 week from tonight, is our Midsummer Ritual and second anniversary show.
Woohoo!
Yeah, 2 years ago, on the 21st of June, we launched the Spiritual Unity Radio Network with a Midsummer Ritual.
Mm-hmm.
And last year we celebrated with a Midsummer Ritual, and this year, we are once more going to have Midsummer Ritual on the 21st, and this time we're celebrating our second anniversary. And
yep.
I'm excited. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it, the time has flown. You know, I mean, it just seems like yesterday.
Mm.
I sat here at this desk and flipped the switch live for the very first time.
Mm-hmm.
And Spiritual Unity Radio Network was born. And through all of its changes, through all of its incarnations and manifestations, and the 2 years of change, we have grown, we've developed, we've honed our message, and we've managed through it all to keep spirit in our hearts, and something amazing has grown here. And we're thankful to everyone who has been a part of that, everyone who has listened. The number of people that download this show every month is growing, and we're honored. The number of people we met at Caldera Fest that listen, that participate in our on-air rituals, that travel a lot and are able to use our rituals as a way of feeling connected. That was possibly the most kind and beautiful thing that I learned from Caldera Fest, was the number of people that we reach in a positive, empowering way. And that we're a part of their lives and a part of their spirituality, and we're honored and deeply grateful. So I will save some more of this for Gushing next week. It's a little emotional. I mean, we've been through a lot to get to 2 years. And I want to thank everybody for being a part of it. So 2 weeks from tonight, we are going to continue our series talking about the elementals. And we will be talking about elemental water. And typically in Northern Hemisphere Wicca, that tends to equate to the West. So we're going to keep it in that common place. To some, it means water is in a different direction. We are keeping it with the kind of common theme. So let's see. This coming weekend is Ishtar Fest and the Shapatu of Ishtar, celebrating a lot of personal empowerment. I mean, the whole Ishtar's descent into the underworld, return, that whole story is going to be played out in theater and ritual mystery, with some empowerment ritual going on in there. And Robin and I are traveling over there this weekend to share and participate. Robin is going to be facilitating the women's mystery rituals that will go on in between the acts of the theater. And I will be working with our fellow CERN host, Hercules Invictus, and he and I will be working together on the empowerment aspects of the mysteries. So if you are interested, it's not too late. Go to handsofchange.org. All run together, handsofchange.org. And I'll look for Ishtar Fest link there. And get signed up and come on out and see Robin and I and celebrate Ishtar Fest. So that's coming up this weekend. Let's see. Then the next weekend we're trying to do as little as possible because we've got to prepare the mountain and the property for the celebration on the 4th of July weekend of our wedding. Yay! And the legal paperwork aspect of our already existing spiritual connection and hand fasting, and I already think of this woman and refer to her as my wife. But we're doing the paperwork, and so that's pretty cool. Let's see. I think most of July we're going to be working on the mountain stuff. Then August, I'm still working on pinning Hercules down on a date, but Hercules and Athena have an event coming up in August that they have asked us to attend. Labor Day weekend, we're going to be at Labor Day Libertine over Camp Midian in Indiana. Just got a message about that on Facebook as I was getting ready for the show. And then I'm flipping through the calendar here because I thought we had something coming up. We're in discussions about possibly being at Pittsburgh TTD in September or October, and then November. I think it's the 4th, 5th, and 6th, or maybe 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th. Anyway, it's that first full weekend in November. We're going to be at the Salon event at Florida Pagan Gathering. So we'll be back down in the South, and anybody down that way, come on out to Florida Pagan Gathering Salon event, and meet us here, speak. We'll probably try to do some sort of live remote from down there like we did last Beltane from down there. So was there anything I missed, my love?
No, I think that's it.
All right. Well, I always depend on you to keep me in, you know, keep me on the straight and narrow. So in case I forgot something. I think that's about it. Again, thanks to all of our listeners. Thanks to the beautiful redhead over there on the mountain for being my partner. For being my partner and my friend and my co-host and sharing a life and a ministry with me here on the air and in everything we do together. Thank you. I'm blessed. So with that, I believe it's time to wish you all a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
Good night. Blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.